from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, welcome to Verve. I am so glad that you're joining with us today. And if it's your first time, welcome. Thank you for being here. You have found a safe place to explore and a great place to make great friends. In fact, at Verve, we would say we're all about relationships and not about religion. And that's what we're going to talk about today. What are we all about? And I wonder, like, what are we known for? Really known for? And I wonder, what are you known for? Really known for? It's interesting. There are people and businesses that are known for something. And then sometimes there's what then they're really known for. I'll give you some examples. Like, what Michael Jordan is known for is basketball. But what he's really known for is... what Krispy Kreme donuts are known for is deliciousness. But what they're really known for is... Tom Cruise is known for being a successful, big action movie star. But what he's really known for is... Las Vegas is known for being Sin City for casinos and shows and restaurants. But Las Vegas is really known for... Yeah, if you live in Las Vegas and you are sick and tired of all the road construction, give me an amen in the comments, or you can put in the comments, I'm about to go on a murderous rampage because of all the construction. Well, listen, I don't know what you're known for, but I have a guess what you might want to be known for. And I know what I want Verve to be known for. What are we known for? Well, some of you have joined us maybe just in the last few months, and you might not even be in Vegas. It's so cool. We are now getting people who are becoming part of the Verve family from all over. We have people in other states that are, watching Verve and getting into Verve groups and starting Verve watch parties in their living room. And in the comments, maybe tell us where you're watching from today. And if you are new or not in Vegas, you may not know what we're known for. Maybe this is all kind of new to you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. What do we want to be known for as we continue our new series, Maximum Impact? So, what is Verve known for? My guess is church for people who don't like church. And I like that. Like, we want people who have never been to church or been turned off by church to know that we are not the church they rejected. We are not about religion. We're about relationships. We're not hoping to get you to give us your money. We're hoping that you'll give God your heart. What are we known for? Maybe this, no perfect people allowed. And I like that. We want people to know that we know that no one is perfect, certainly not us. And so you can come here and not get judged. What I would love for us to really be known for is what the Thessalonian church was known for. Well, Thessalonica is currently the second largest city in Greece with more than 1 million people. The city was founded in 315 BC, and in about 50 AD, a guy named Paul, who was one of the first Christians, first church starters, started a church there. And he later wrote two letters to that church, which are in the Bible. They're the Bible books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, which is hard to say, Thessalonians. So here's how Paul begins his first letter to the church in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians, I'm just going to keep saying this hard to say word, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. He writes, this letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy, which were two of his partners, ministry partners. He says, we are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you grace and peace. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father, ready for this? Your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just read that last part again. He says, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. They were known for faith, love, and hope. And man, I want so much for Verve to be known for faith, love, and hope. For being a community of people who live by faith, are known for love, and are a voice of hope. And I believe that that is true of us, that that is who we are. But I want it to be even more true, that we would be a church, a community of people, a family who live by faith. So you want to hear something really interesting, at least I think it is. If you read the books of the Bible that detail Jesus' life here on earth, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, repeatedly you see people who were amazed at Jesus because he was amazing. They're amazed by the wisdom of his words, by his courage, by his power, by his love. It's all over. People were always amazed by Jesus. But there are only two times when we're told that Jesus was amazed by people. Two times. So in Mark chapter 6, Jesus is in his hometown. And the people there knew him when he was a kid. And so unlike people in other towns, they just can't believe that he really is the Son of God, the promised Messiah, the Savior. And look at the result of their lack of faith. Mark chapter 6 says, he, Jesus, could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Jesus was amazed in a negative way. He was like, Jesus was amazed by what? Their lack of faith. And then in Luke chapter 7, there's this Roman soldier who has a servant who's on his deathbed and he wants Jesus to heal him. People urge Jesus to go to the servant to touch him. But the Roman soldier says, you don't need to come. You just saying the word from where you are will heal him. And look at Luke chapter 7, verse 9. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. Jesus was amazed, right? He was amazed by what? By this man's great faith. And I think Jesus will be amazed at my lack of faith or at my great faith. And I want him to be amazed by my faith, not my lack of it. I want him to be amazed at our faith. If you feel like, man, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I need to amaze Jesus with my faith. That just seems a little like aspirational for someone like me. I get it. Okay, but look at this Bible verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so if you just want to live a life that pleases God, well, it's got to be a life of faith. Now, that might feel nice, right? It feels, I don't know, faith, if it feels kind of warm and squishy, right? That's why, like, everyone likes faith. Faith sounds great. People name their kids Faith. They put Faith on coffee mugs. Faith sounds great until you start understanding what faith is. Because faith is not just belief. Faith is belief that leads to trust. Belief that leads to risk. Right? Like, we actually know this. That's what faith is. So think about it this way. Let's say you're on a roof, okay? And you need to get down. You look down, and I'm standing there on the ground, and I yell up to you, jump! Jump off the roof! I'll catch you! You can put your faith in me! How does that feel to you up on the roof? Not warm and squishy, right? For you to put your faith in me, you have to trust me. You have to take a risk. That's what faith is. That's what biblical faith is. Faith is belief that leads to trust, belief that leads to risk. Faith leads you to do things you would never do if you didn't have faith. And when you do them, you become known for faith. People aren't known for what they believe. They're known for what they do. And when you do something because of your faith, you know, people see God in you, the impact he's having on your life. And we want people to see God in us. And so we need to live by faith, which probably means that we need to grow our faith. I know I do. Do you know how to grow your faith? You get more faith by spending more time with people who have more faith in God than you. And that's why the spiritual friendships that happen in Verve groups are so important. And you get more faith by spending more time with God. Like, I mean, church service every week, priority, praying, reading the Bible every day, it grows your faith. We want our church to be known for faith and known by love. Remember, it's faith, love, hope. And there is definitely a connection. So here's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. It's Galatians 5:6. It says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Faith leads you to act, to do something, and you always do it in love. We need to be known by love. The night before Jesus was crucified, he's with his disciples. A disciple is someone who chooses to follow another person, to kind of walk in their footsteps, to learn a way of life from them. So if you choose to be a Christian, you're choosing to be Jesus' disciple or his follower. So Jesus is with his disciples on this important night, and here's what he says to them in John 13, 34 and 35. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. You might read that, and if you're a little familiar with the Bible, you might wonder, why was this a new command? God has always told people to love each other. Why does he say it's a new command? You're right. And I think what's new is not that you love one another, but how you love one another. Because just before saying this, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. It was considered like the grossest thing you could do for someone. Why? Because feet are gross. Like, I don't know if you like feet. I hate feet. Like, and if you had to wash someone's feet, it'd be like, But Jesus washed all 12 guys' feet, and then he says this, and since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. So that's what happened before he said, a new command, love one another. And then the next day after saying this, Jesus was nailed to a cross. And He forgave the people who nailed him there. And then Jesus died for everyone. He died for people who had sinned against and made themselves enemies of God. And we're told in 1 John in the Bible, 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." Jesus says, "My command is that you love one another as I have loved you. You wash feet. You forgive the people who hurt you. You lay down your life for everyone, including your enemies." And he says, that is how you will be known. You will be known by love. That's how people will know if you are really my disciples. It's if your life is marked by love. As a church, we need to be known by love. And that's why we are so committed to loving every single person who walks through the doors of our building. And that's why we're so committed to going out of our doors and loving people who will never come in. It's why we've adopted Marble Manor and serve the people who are struggling in that housing project. It's why we're partners with Safe Families to help kids who need foster care. It's why we've fed homeless people and why we did a drive-through food distribution this summer. It's why we host Project 150 as they give out school supplies and food to needy kids. It's why we've given new shoes to all the poor kids at Dean Peterson Elementary. It's why we're doing these love ambushes every month, where we take the first dollar of every offering that you give and we give it to someone to show them God's love. And what I'm looking forward to, I would love to have more to give so we can show God's love in an even bigger way. And that's why I would encourage you to develop the habit of giving weekly. You can actually set up a recurring financial gift at vivalaverve.org/donate, where you can choose how often you want to give, how much you want to give. It's totally up to you. But whatever you decide, the first dollar of every offering you make goes towards blessing someone in need. How cool is that? And why do we do that? Because we are a community who live by faith and are known for love. And third, remember that verse in Thessalonians said, to be a voice of hope. Do you know how a church becomes known for being a voice of hope? By sharing the gospel. The word gospel is like a super churchy Bible word. It just means good news. And the gospel is the good news that God loves you despite your sin, that Jesus came for you and died for your sin to take away your sin, that God wants to be in relationship with you and live inside of you, that he is inviting you into his family and into a new life. Here and now, you can live a new life of love in God's love. And that when this life is over, you can be with him forever in his perfect heaven. That's the message of hope we have. We read the first three verses of 1 Thessalonians. Here's the eighth verse of that book. It says this, "And because of you, the Lord's message has spread everywhere." Paul says, you have been a voice of hope by sharing the good news everywhere. That's what we do. It's what we do here in Las Vegas and through our online services everywhere. I love this note I got last month from April, and she gave me permission to share it with you. She messaged me. She wrote, "I wanted to reach out to say thank you. I was sitting outside this morning enjoying the beautiful weather, but feeling anxious. Sometimes I feel panic and can't pinpoint the specific worry that is making my body feel this way. I listened to your sermon, What to Do with Stress, in the emotion series from a few weeks ago. My anxiety has been at an all-time high. While listening, I began to cry and thought, that's right, I am not alone. It gave me some practical ways to deal with my overwhelming stress. These are things I have learned before, but have overlooked or forgotten. I have not been attending any online services for a few months. When I did, it felt like compliance, checking off a list. It's Sunday, went to church, check. Basically, what I'm trying to tell you in a very long, drawn-out way is, thank you, April." And how cool is that? That message that she listened to online in her online service was how Jesus helps us deal with hopelessness. And through our online service, we shared Jesus, and it gave April hope. That's what we do. That's what we need to do more. We share Jesus. When I say we, I'm talking like you share Jesus, I share Jesus. Not just through online services, but like everywhere we go, we share Jesus, who is the hope of the world. And we can be a voice of hope by sharing Jesus. So each week of this series, I'm asking you to kind of evaluate yourself, to rate yourself, just to take an honest look and ask, how am I really doing with this? And maybe even to ask God to help you to really see you, just so you can know where we need to grow, right? So how are you doing with this? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not so good and 10 being perfect, what are you known for? Like, if we did an investigation, if we asked your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, your family, would they say that you are known for faith? And remember, faith is not just believing. Faith is belief that leads to trust. It's belief that leads to risk. Does your faith cause you to act, to do things you would never do if you didn't have faith? Like, what could you point to and say, I only do that because of my faith? And are you known for love, for washing feet, not literally, but serving people, for forgiving, for laying your life down to meet the needs of others, even your enemies? Like, would people who know you talk about how loving you are? And are you known for hope, for being a voice of hope, that you are someone who looks for opportunities to share good news with people who have it bad? That you're someone who points people to Jesus because he is the only real hope we have. If we ask people, is that what they would say about you? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you doing with this? If not so good, it's good to know that, right? Acknowledging the problem is the first step out of the problem. And whatever that number is, that's like your life up to today. But God has you hearing this today, so tomorrow can be a new day, right? You don't want to stay where you're at. I don't want to stay where I'm at, and we don't have to. God is with you, and he wants to work in you to move you towards the life he has for you. God has a dream for your life, and if you're willing, he will help you to make that dream a reality. And man, I have a dream for our church. Like, I dream of a church that is known for faith, that amazes Jesus with our great faith, that we would be faith-filled, go for it, bet the farm, stare down fear, risk takers, that we would do things we would never do, things we would be afraid to do, but we're not afraid, and we do them because of our faith. Because we know that faith in a big God doesn't just allow you to take big risks, it requires you to take big risks. That we would see our Heavenly Father with outstretched arms yelling out to us, jump, and we would jump. Now, I dream of a church that is known for love, filled with people who believe love is the greatest of all these, that the greatest thing we'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return, that we become totally attractive to people who don't believe because of the way we live lives of love, that those who are cynical and skeptical of our faith are amazed by the way people are accepted and embraced in our community. And I dream of a church that is known for love, that is known for hope, that we would be a voice of hope, graciously sharing God's amazing message of amazing grace, that we would share it so clearly and compellingly that people would want it to be true before they believe it's true. Because when the gospel is shared clearly, people do want it to be true, right? I mean, who doesn't want a God who knows their worst but loves them best? Who doesn't want forgiveness for all their mistakes? Who doesn't want spiritual empowerment to live a better life? Who doesn't want justice for people who have been treated unjustly? Who doesn't want the sick healed, the downtrodden lifted up, and mourners to rejoice. Who doesn't want there to be something beautiful beyond this life? That's my dream. I think that's God's dream. It's everything.
This is everything.